That's what it's about. That's what it's about. For those of you that show up here Sunday after Sunday, you can guarantee you're going to hear about this. There's an old rugged cross that'll forgive anybody of their sin, whosoever. So in case you were showing up and wanted a some of them preacher, I'm a whosoever them preacher. So I don't know who it's going to be today, but it'll be somebody who needs to meet Jesus. And you know what? I want to tell you something that's really, 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 really neat. Really neat. God can change anybody's life at any time. How many of y'all believe that? And I want us to go over some basic things. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to put this pivot up that a lot of us wrestle with. A Jesus who is a God of relationship or a God that's full of rules? It's a battle, isn't it? And you know what? Some of you say, man, I'm all into Jesus being a relationship, and it's only God can save me. And then you throw in all these rules. You throw in all these rules. And so today, I just want to relieve some of you. Anybody in here, other than the guy speaking to you, have a problem with all the rules? I mean, I'm there. I mean, rules just, I have a problem with them because, Rocky, I couldn't follow them. They said, don't chew gum in school. And I did. They said, drive 55. And I sang the song, I can't drive 55. Anybody break the rules? Oh, yeah. Well, now we're going to talk about the difference between a God of regulation and a God of relationship. One is created by man and the other is sent from heaven. Big difference. One is an interpretation of, the other is the way, the life, and the truth. So yes, guess what? It is about Jesus. Let's pray that he unfold and we can see him, hear him, and embrace what he has to say today. Amen? What he has to say to us today. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that you're a God of relationship. And Lord, I would like to ask if any of us in this room have tried to so confine you in a system or a set of beliefs only driven by man or an interpretation that's only held in certain places in the world, Lord, that you would begin to expand our minds and open our hearts in belief to see a risen Jesus who can change all things and anybody. And Lord, if we're not convinced of that yet today, I pray that only you can convince us, so convince us and help us hear your truth in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Last week, the Reverend Dr. James Ward, better known as Pastor Jamie, did a great job of really focusing on, if you're going to understand the Church of Jesus Christ, you got to stay connected to what Jesus has said. Amen. What Jesus has said. We covered in Colossians chapter 2, he's the head of the body. So who leads the church? Jesus. It's not Pastor Steve. It's not a denominational entity. It's not, I know some of y'all get upset here, but the Pope ain't got no more power than you do. He's just got a cooler hat and a bulletproof automobile. But in relation to God, I know this goes against the grain of Catholicism, but there's no man more special than any other man. Would you agree? There's not a man lifted up. There is man was touched because heaven came to man. Isn't that the more accurate description? Heaven came to earth. Earth didn't go to heaven. Jesus came to us. Now you got to get that rhythm. Jesus came to us. We don't go to Jesus. He comes to us. It may look like we're going to Jesus because he appears where we are. But really look at the New Testament. Who shows up? Jesus. We don't show up. And I know this just breaks the heart of all you humanists. But guess what? Our plans don't work. And I'm one of the crazy guys that's got enough guts to say, our plans don't work. They just don't work. And now hear me. We are a nation of laws, or at least some of them at the moment. And this experiment of democracy's worked pretty good for 200 plus years, hasn't it? We said we had a constitution. How many of y'all are aware of that? We had a constitution. I know I got my lawyer crew in here at 9:30. We have a constitution. Isn't that right, George? You and my father had to adhere to the constitution, a law. You can't just make up laws as a lawyer, can you? I remember one day I was in my dad's law office and he asked me what I was going to do with my life other than chase pretty girls and drive fast cars. And I said, I'm looking at how to make that a career. And I asked him, I asked him about all those books that's in his law library. I said, you got to read all these? He said, yes, son, it's the law. I said, check lawyer off the list. And a few years later, being the man that he is, he walked back in my study and he said, Reverend Ayers, do you got to read all these books to be a preacher? I said, you got to read one of them real well. And these others are a meager attempt to explain the one that is permanent. I said, kind of like your business, Pops. There's one constitution, but there's apparently a whole lot of people that have had a lot of ideas about it. Now, I want you all to, let's wrestle with this. Our relationship with Jesus is either going to be a relationship or it's going to be a regulation, okay? I'm going to propose to you today from the foundation of Scripture in Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 and following, that God has made a relationship for us, not a group of rules. I mean, is that exciting anybody? That God is not a group of rules. He doesn't just sit up in heaven and spit out rules. Now, let me help you with something. How many of y'all understand we got some stupid rules we made up? Can I use that definition? They're just stupid rules. Here's a stupid rule. Men are smarter than women. How many of y'all believe that? If you're a man and believes that, guess what? You know, that men are smarter than women. Men aren't smarter than women. That's not true. You know, we went through this thing in the 60s. Remember, it all was an upheaval. A few of you were there in the surgery. You're in the 60s, you know, all the women wanted to be equal. Well, watch this. In all of our academic brilliance, here's the way we described equality. Sameness. Now, how many of y'all smart enough know that a woman and a man are not the same? When I was doing my graduate work, I got to spend some time on the East Coast, which was kind of interesting for me. They eat funny foods up there, but that's okay. They don't fry anything up there. They say it's bad for your health. They're also very unhappy people. I've deducted it's because they don't fry anything. How many of y'all have ever been depressed eating fried chicken? Nobody! It's better than Zoloft, man, fried chicken! Now, check this out. So I got in an argument with a feminist professor from Harvard. She's from Harvard. And we were arguing, and finally I had to look at her. I said, ma'am, I want you to know that there's a difference between men and women. And you've about got me to the point I'm fixing to show you. There's a distinct difference. It has nothing to do with equality. It has to do with the relational design of God. And God is the God of order and relationship. But you know what? Sometimes we got stupid rules. It's just men and women's intelligence. It's there. Men and women should have equal pay, but at one time we thought women were less than. Make sense? That's a stupid what? Rule. One time in our nation we had stupid rules. Guess what? We said that black people and white people shouldn't associate. Who thought that up? Y'all always get quiet when I get to the racial stuff. You know what I'm saying? Y'all never met anybody that just says it like it is. How many of y'all realize there are different shades of skin color in the world? Yes. Jeepers. Wonder how that happened, Batman. Who made that? Who segregated that? Man. There you go. Now you understand. See, God gives bears relationship. And we create segregation. You say, Pastor, why are you going through all this today? I want to tell you, we don't live in a world that much different from an ancient world. God gives us a beautiful relationship, and we want to trade it for a regulatory system. Make sense? Yeah. And I'm not going political on this. I'm just telling you, we think we can save ourselves by regulation. Here, I'll give you an example. When I came to Hillview Heights Church, there had been some problems here. There had been some fights here. There had been some fussing here. In the Baptist way, when you have a fight, have a business meeting. Aaron, don't laugh. Your generation does it too. Y'all just do it on an iPhone. I bet in a sorority, if they have a problem, do they make a new rule? I bet the rule book's that thick. When I came to Hillview Heights Church, the Constitution and bylaws here looked like a Sears and Roebuck catalog because they had a lot of problems. So they said, we're going to fix it by making a rule. Has that ever worked? Husbands, be careful if you answer this. Be careful, very slow and careful if you answer this. How many of y'all have had your wives make rules? Yeah, I give you one. Let's not get too complex. Don't wear your muddy boots inside the house. How many of y'all got that rule? I mean, they set a rule. When do you follow it? I only follow it when they're there. So it's really that I don't want to keep the rule. I just want to keep the peace. Huh? Joseph, you had any rules at your house? I just keep the peace. When Elizabeth and I first got married, Sheriff, this didn't make any sense to me. I'm a very intelligent man. I had a plan. Back then I worked construction. I took my boots off at the porch. I'm going to show you how intelligent this was. I dropped my jeans right there at the door, and I proceeded down the hallway. Because the next morning I was going to wear the same stuff, and I could get up, and I would be fully dressed by the time I got to the truck. That's a system. Well, guess what Elizabeth told me? Tell them what you told me, honey. Pick it up. You know what else she'd say? If you love me, you'd pick it. What's that got to do with love? Now, you talking about a country song, what do my jeans on the floor got to do with loving you more? That would be a great country song. Somebody go write it. But Elizabeth did not appreciate my modern decor of designing a house in our young married days. It was called abstract decor. Like you just abstractly put a t-shirt somewhere. Nathan, like on top of a lampshade. So as a rule, put your stuff up. Rule, put it in a hamper. Yeah, there you go. You got the same rule. Don't you put it in a hamper. And then if you don't get it in a hamper, I don't understand why. One simple thing, y'all get it in a hamper. And see, I want to go, I can't understand one simple thing. Floor. Do you know what I did? I followed the rule to keep the relationship healthy. Now, Elizabeth, I'm not saying I followed it 100%. Right? Now, I want to tell you, here's the battle. Relationship or rule? Here's the challenge. Is the relationship that Jesus has put in your life in grace sufficient enough to revolutionize your conduct? I have one of my faithful colleagues here, Dr. Oakley. Dr. Oakley, it's always been amazing to me. We trust Jesus for our salvation, but he's not good enough for our discipleship. We got to help him there. It's always amazed me. If he can save me, I bet he can teach me. If he can save me of all my sin, I bet he can change me in my daily life. Somebody understand where I'm going. Well, Colossians, they had a group of people that they had heard about Jesus' cross and resurrection. And then here they come. And Paul has to ask them a question in verse 20, chapter 2, verse 20. He says this, since you've died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Make sense? Now here's what that means. The rules are not going to change you. Now, we know if you read the full counsel of the Bible, that doesn't mean we disregard the law. So don't anybody this week, if you get pulled over, look at the law enforcement agent and say, I don't have to submit to. No, because Romans 13 says you have to submit to the government what? Regulations. How many of y'all this past week, you just said, well, I tell you what, I'm no longer a part of this world. I'm not obligated to pay my taxes. If you did, you would not be with us today. Because they say, we're going to obligate you to the jail. Make sense? So there are some things that we follow. That's not what he's talking about. It's the rules we create to be holy. And see, some of us have a little table of rules to be holy. I've heard them. I grew up around them. How many of y'all ever heard this? Only long-haired people. They're from the devil. Men with long hair, that's against the Bible. Well, I read the Bible. And I found if you had long hair, you was a Nazarite. And the same people that didn't drink also had long hair. Or when you read the Bible. But you know what? It was amazing to me because when I got to church, I had a lot of Sunday school teachers. They knew 1950s cultural morals a whole lot better than they did a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because they were able to spit them babies off. Don't rock and roll. If you wear shorts in church, you will melt down and go to hell instantly. Come on, I'm giving you stuff we've all heard. Oh, I remember the biggest meltdown at First Baptist Church was when I was a young person. We had the first musical that came out using guitars. And it was a musical entitled, Tell It Like It Is. Tell It Like It Is. I never will forget it. Well, on Wednesday night, to First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky, we had brought in an electric guitar. The devil's instrument was being used. And there was Bobby Baldwin, our same Bobby Baldwin without the gray hair. He had long, jet black, fuzzy hair. You remember those days, Timmy. Bobby was young. And right there at the First Baptist Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky on a Wednesday night, let me tell you what happened. Bobby hung a high note and hit a lick. Of course, all of us young people, we were going, you could hear girdles swelling up across the congregation. I'd never been in a spiritual. Back then, women wore them heavy-duty girdles. You know what I'm talking about? It'd hold them in, hold them up, and keep them going. That kind of deal. And let me tell you, we were about to have a nuclear explosion right there inside the new. I mean, faces turning red and people angered. You know why, Sheriff? You should have heard them out in the parking lot. Our church is going to hell. It's all over. Because somebody broke their what? Now, hold on. We get like that, too. We tell people if they don't sing like us, if they don't think like us, if they don't read out of the certain translation that we prefer, if they don't organize their theological system just like us, then they're out and we're a little bit better. I want to tell you something. The people around you that make up a bunch of rules, it's always about them being lifted up. And I've not found it one time about Jesus being glorified. Because you know what they always do? We keep the rules and you don't. We're more mature. If anybody ever tells you how mature they are, they're showing you how immature they are. Because mature people don't talk about how mature they are because they're mature. I mean, did Jesus ever walk around doing this? I'm a lot more spiritual than you. And you know what? He was. He is. But he didn't do that a lot, did he? Lanny, Jesus didn't go up and go, you know what? I can make your water do tricks you can't dream of. Did he ever do that to people? He said, give me a drink. You're going to find this out. Humility and submission in Christ is the key to understanding a relationship with Christ. It's not regulation. It's relation. Isn't that cool? Watch this. I pick up my clothes now. And Elizabeth never tells me to. Because we've lived together so long now. I do love her. No, hold on. So I pick up my jeans. Because see, when we got kids, Blake could leave his in the floor and I'd trip over his, and I didn't like that. And I realized that's what Elizabeth's been doing. And I came to a relational conclusion versus a rule conclusion. Now let's look what he said. We've been changed, according to the Scripture. We're no longer a part of this world. How many of y'all understand that? I want to give you some good news today. I'm not going to be long today. I want to give you some good news today. This is awesome. How many? We ought to put this on our tombstones. Every one of us who are in Christ, who've been saved of our sins, who are following Jesus in relationship, Merle, guess what? On your tombstone, it should have this, because of Jesus. Dot, dot, dot. Timothy Merle, dot, 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 to be continued. Dr. Earl Wasp, dot, 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 to be what? How many of y'all are to be continued? See, you got to really understand life. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, all your sins are forgiven. God saved you. You know He died on the cross. He's risen from the grave. He's in you. How many of you are celebrating? You get to have a dot, dot, dot. Now, and guess what? People that don't have a relationship with Jesus, guess what that is? That's all, folks. You're going to have that little bunny come out, you remember, at the end of the cartoon, and go, that's all, folks. Now, I'm going to be just very, very plain, very plain spoken here, like I'm not always. If all I had was this world, I'd be depressed. If the only thing I had to cheer me up was Fox News, I would be miserable. If I truly believed the politicians were going to save us, I would declare no hope. But you know what I really believe? Jesus is Lord. You see, Paul believed that. Now, I'm going to propose something to you all. If rules and regulation worked, then why didn't the Apostle Paul stay with them? He was good at it. He said so. He said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm good at keeping the rules. And he wouldn't keep the rules. Because it's about a relationship that heaven will find you in Jesus. And that's why he said, be careful. Why do you do these things? Why do you submit to the rules of do not handle, do not taste, do not touch? And here's what I wanted you to see. Don't you think we don't do the same thing? It's caused a lot of problems. Caused a lot of problems among people because we lose our focus on who? Jesus. Now, I want you to know what I believe. I believe Jesus is a sovereign God. I believe He's the beginning and the end, and I believe He's in charge. And I believe no human can change His mind. But not only is Jesus sufficient for salvation, He's also sufficient for discipleship. Here's what I found. The older I get, see what you all found. We can't change each other. How many of y'all pretty well come along on that? How many of y'all got married? How did it go? How did they change? Elizabeth has the basic person she married. Now, I changed on some issues, but guess what? She didn't change me, did you? I had to make a conscious decision to what? Change. And so I'm going to challenge you today, be in a relationship. Be in a relationship. It's about freedom. It's not about what? Regulation. What does the Bible say? So if the Son sets you free, you're what? You'll be free what? How many of y'all are free indeed? Watch this. Not free. Not free to do what I want to do, but free to be in relationship with Jesus. Amen? How many of y'all found this? If you'll listen to Jesus, you'll make better decisions. Yes. Hmm? How many of y'all this far along? Stupid decisions equal stupid results. And I'm going to just help y'all while I'm on this. Quit being impressed with people they call smart. I remember some smart people back in the 70s. We had a bunch of smart farmers. And everybody was farming. But I was working for an old, faithful farmer. And credit became available. And everybody went and got him a new tractor. And they got him a tractor and they had an 8-track cassette player in the tractor. Because that was cool now. Not my old farmer. He had his daggum stack tied up with a coat hanger he'd gotten from down there at Hinton's Cleaners. Because he's too cheap to go get us a bolt. And we plowed with that 34-5 horsepower. Now, we weren't cool. I mean, all the other boys on the farm besides, they had them big green tractors. They had an 8-track. They was blowing diesel. Randall Jackson, they were cool. Something Merle would do. Here we were, 35 horsepower Massey Ferguson, sickle blade mower. We didn't have one of those new binder shooter out mowers. Sheriff, we had it when it came hay hauling time. We had that old baler that'd go, tuk, 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 tuk. And there we are. But guess what? The new boys, they were blowing it up in a big, and there we were. About 5 years later, the bank was coming to get everybody else's equipment. Because this farmer that wasn't real smart, guess what he knew? You can't spend more than you make and be all right. He knew a relational principle. One that we all are soon to discover. That foolish behavior equals a foolish life.
But a relational decision to listen to Jesus, a full and abundant life comes from us into the world. Make sense? Look what he said. Be careful. He said, all these things are destined to perish with use because they're based on human commands and teachings. The do not, will not, should not, that's based on a moment of time and not eternity. Amen? There's no dot, dot, dot to them. They won't be continued. We've learned some things. Make sense? But then there's some things that'll be continued, and I hope they're you. Guess what he tells us on? Such regulations, guess what? Oh, they have an appearance of wisdom. How many of you young people have been suckered by the great teacher that looked like they knew so much? I was. And then I went to seminary and realized they teach everybody that. Books have been written for years about that. I laugh at our new generation. They're all hepped on a theology that's about 500 years old. I've done argued that 40 years ago. That's so 40 years ago to get with a commercial. That's so 29 seconds ago. That's so not what it's about. But guess what? I've been in ministry for over 30 years. Not one time have I seen the church as a whole in America get focused on Jesus. Not one time. It's always on some sidebar issue. Not one time have I seen the Church of Jesus Christ in America say, we're going to be about Jesus and that's it. Have y'all heard that? It's always about haircut regulation, dress code, something other than who? Jesus. And that's what's going on in Colossae here. They're trying to say these rules are better than Christ. Here's what I want you to know. Our rules will never be better than Christ. Fair enough. So you want to get changed? Guess what? Jesus. Now the rules look like they have wisdom. They have an appearance of wisdom. With their self-imposed worship, their false what? Humility and their harsh treatment of the body. I used to have people do this. Well, Pastor Ayers, I got up at 5 o'clock this morning and read my Bible. You know what I say to that? Good for you. You got up early. I don't get up early. I don't like getting up early. You're not holier because you got up early. You're just awake earlier. But you know, Dr. Elder, you went through that. It's always a little more spiritual if you had your devotion at 4:45. I mean, it sounds like you're running around with Jesus doing something you're not supposed to if you say, you know, 2 o'clock this morning, Jesus and I hung out. What'd you do? Nothing good happens after 12. Huh? Yeah, we do this self-imposed stuff. They're false humility. One of the things that Pastor Reynolds brought me to over a Holy Week, I was rolling laughing. I try to follow all these tweets and all this cool stuff. They're bringing me into the new world. And Jeff talked about bragger tweets where people use their false. I know I've given a good, you know, I know it wasn't me that gave the lesson. It was the Lord. Well, no kidding. But tell me more how good it was. You know what? Humble people don't have to hear how good they are because they know how right Jesus is. I hear all these preachers, you know, I try to teach our young preachers. When somebody says you preached well, you know how they need to respond? You know what humility is? Thank you. I'm glad the Lord could use me this week. Thank you. But just say thank you. Don't go through all these gyrations. Well, it's not me. It's the Lord. He's just blessed me and quit me. But oh, it's the Lord. Just give praise and glory and honor to Him. Where did Jesus talk like that? This works. Thank you. You know, if you cook a good meal, guess what I say? Thank you. And if you cook a bad meal, I lie. I tell you it's good. I say thank you. It's real humility, not false humility. What's this? Guess what? Those who follow Jesus never have to worry about false humility because if you really understand Jesus, you'll always be humble. It's by grace that we're saved and not by works so that none of us could do what? Boast. It's interesting. Harsh treatment of the body. Here's just what I want you to know. You will never take care of sin from the outside. You can put blinders on. But guess what? The whole time you got your blinders on, you're going to be thinking about what's outside your blinders. True? This drives people crazy. And it's because they want to regulate sin instead of let God forgive it. Make sense? How many of y'all have ever tried to quit a bad habit? Any of y'all ever had a bad habit here? Okay, how many of y'all have ever tried to quit one? Does this work on the bad habit? I'm not going to do it. 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 And you just like that little train in your children's story. You know, I think I can. I think I can. I think I won't. I think I won't. What really happens? I mean, by 12 o'clock, you're staring at a mile-long cigarette. Huh? Or how many of y'all have said this? I'm only going to eat 2,000 calories today. Now, as soon as you say that, you're hungrier than you were. How many of y'all have noticed that? I remember I was in Egypt. I didn't even want a drink of water. I wasn't even thinking about water. I wasn't even thirsty. We were on a tour bus. We were in Egypt. And they said, we cannot get water for an hour. I was automatically thirsty as soon as they said that. I was like, I'm going to die. I wouldn't even thought about water till they said what? Let me tell you what. Youth camp. I used to go to youth camp when I was a kid. And we had all these preachers. And they'd give us all these rules. Well, Dr. Oakley, guess what they did? They gave me some ideas I hadn't thought of yet. When we did youth camp, since I didn't have rules, I had a principle. I said, we're going to conduct ourselves as young followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the pastors here are available to give definition to that if we see you outside of that perimeter. At least they had to think then, because they didn't know what the rule was, so they had to deal with the relationship. Let me close. These things look impressive, but they have no value in restraining sensual indulgence. You will never cure sin from the outside, but Jesus will cleanse the inside, and the outside will become better. Amen. Jesus told the Pharisees, the rule makers, y'all always looking at the outside of the cup. How many of y'all always looking at the outside of the cup? How many of y'all are old enough to figure this out? Some people that look real good are real evil, and some people that look real evil are really great. Haven't you noticed it's some of those clean-cut people that kill everybody? They're up there all nice, clean, groomed, got the proper attire on, shooting guns at people. Because the outside won't heal the inside. Ted Bundy looked like a nice, mild-mannered man. But he'd kill you. And then we got people that look like Alice Cooper that follow Jesus. They scare you to death looking at them. But inside, what? We got some people here at Hillview that scare you to death looking at them. But they love who? It's not about the outside. It's about the what? So guess what? I'm going to call on you to really get your inside changed today. Make sense? This make sense today? It's a constant struggle. It's not going to go away. Relationship, regulation. And we like regulation, you know why? It makes us feel better, especially in the church. Well, I keep the rules. You know how many times I've heard this? Well, I've never had a drink. Well, guess what that means? You alcohol free. Guess what that means on the day of judgment? Absolutely nothing. And you know how many people from the South are going to stand up before Jesus and go, I've never had a drink. He's going to go, I bet you'll want one here in a minute. Would you like me to give you a beer on your way down? Come on, let's be honest with it. I love this one. Well, Pastor Harris, I've never smoked, never had a drink. So since they want to save themselves by the list, you ever met people like to save themselves by the list? I like to go on down the list. But what about gossip? What do you mean? What do you mean, Willis? What about gossip? What do you mean? Have you ever talked about people when you didn't know it was true about them? It's in the Big Ten. It's in the fact, the other two aren't in the Big Ten. This one's in the Big Ten. Do not bear false witness. If you've been on topics, you broke that one. Just getting on topics says that you like to hear false things. Why do we delight in people's... Watch this. We have no idea what the President of the United States did over there in Latin America. Because we're too busy talking about a sleazy story. We've become a people, we are addicted to sleaze. And guess what? Since we are, the devil's going to ride right over top of us, and we're never going to know when the train hit us because we're too busy worried about everybody else's business to see and discern if we're even doing business. Isn't that amazing? Because we want to know the dirt, and Jesus wants to forgive the dirt. Isn't that cool? But we like those little rules so we can say what? How many of y'all remember the church lady on Saturday Night Live? You know, I'm just a little bit better than you. Y'all ever met somebody like that? If not, stick around Hillview. We got a couple. We do. We got a few here. I mean, they don't last long, but they come by. And they want to impose their instruction on you. I got something to impose on you. I'm not going to lie. I want to impose the cross of Jesus Christ into your life. I want to severely suggest that you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Because I really want to tell you the truth. He's alive. Jesus is the only person I know that went dot, dot, dot. They put him in the grave. Dot, dot, dot. Three dots. On that third dot, he came back and he said, I am here. I am the living God. I am real. I've changed everything in humanity. Follow me. Isn't that what Christ said? Isn't that what really happened? We've been celebrating it all month. By the way, Jesus is still alive. Even though it's not Easter, he's still risen. And he still wants to relate to you. Amen. That is great news. Amen. That is great news. All right. All right, I'm finished. Did this make sense today?
Yes.
Marla, you got any questions? Good, I'm glad. Anybody else got any questions? Elizabeth, got any questions on those jeans? Yeah. Boy, I better not leave my jeans on the floor this week or I'll be praying at the altar next week after preaching about it. Well, let's stand together. I want to give you the most important opportunity of your life. Dot, dot, dot. Dot, dot, dot. Dot, dot, dot. Some of you in this city have heard a lot about Hillview Heights Church. Let me give you the truth. We wake up every morning of our lives, and we have since, I know for me personally, a lot longer than this, but for me personally, since March the 10th, 1991, we got one mission. One mission. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we want to let you know that God loves you. We want to let you know that you have sinned, but so have we. We want to let you know the only way we know that a human being can be saved and connected to heaven is to repent of their sins and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Y'all cool with that? Now guess what? There are going to be some people saved right here. So as our pastors come forward and some of the elders come forward, Tim, if you don't mind, I've jumped on them. Can you come on up? I finished up earlier than they thought I was. They'll be here in a minute. God's here. That's all that matters. Some of you need to be baptized. You need to make that decision today. Some of you need to be saved today. Guess what? Y'all are all great. Some of y'all were brought here today to do this right here. That's why you brought here. You weren't brought here to hear a song or hear a sermon. You were brought here to hear Jesus speak to you. What this man's telling you right now is me. Jesus would love to come into your life and forgive you of your sins. Lord Jesus, forgive me. You heard Keaton say that. You heard Luke say that. You know what impresses me? Here's two young men and they can say it. And some of you men, y'all think you men. You never submitted your life to Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible calls you? A coward. Any man, I'm talking to you men. Any man that is not intelligent enough to realize they're a sinner is lost in their own deception. You will not save yourself. And you don't know how bad that scares me. Pastoring in Kentucky and preaching all over the Southeast United States all my life because I've heard this every day. I'm good enough to go to heaven. No, we're not. I need you, Jesus. That's the relationship. I need you who? Jesus. So today, guess what? Some of y'all are going to say, Lord Jesus. Coming to my what? Life. Watch this. Forgive me of my sin. And guess what God's going to do? And I'll argue with anybody. And I'm right. I have never seen Jesus one time reject anybody that has repented of their sins. I've never heard anybody go, "Lord Jesus, would you forgive me?" And he go, "No, you're not on a list. No reservations." I've never heard that one time. So guess what? There's some of you today, you know Jesus needs to be in your life. Come on. A lot of you have been saved, but you wandered away from what Jesus really made you to be. Well, guess what? Let me give you the good news of Jesus. Wander back. How many of y'all glad to have a God that lets you wander back? That's another sermon. I'm not even going there. Let God have his way in you right now, okay? Pray with me. Come on. Hey, guys. Let's get that baptism taken care of. Some of you all need to say, "Lord, I'm going to start living my faith out." Relationship. Come on. Thank you, elders, for coming up here. There's going to be people being saved right now. Lord, believers, I want to pray for you first. Those of you who claim to follow Jesus Christ, are you in a rule-based moment or are you in a relationship? Do you tell people about Jesus because you get to? Or do you come to church because you think you have to? Big difference. Just if I had the privilege and the joy of Jesus to preach to you today. I didn't have to be here today. I got to be here today. Believe me, I've pastored the church I had to be called to. And it was nasty. I get to be with you today. And I take that very personally because you know what? I can't say for sure if I get to be with you tomorrow. That's the truth. That's the honest God's truth. I'm not being scary. I'm just being truthful. But today, guess what? Right now, I know it's on. Amen? Amen. And I know Jesus will save you right now. Don't you believe that, Jamie? Timmy? Andy? Right now is all I know about, Tim. But if I don't wake up in the morning, you know what? Write it down. Dot, dot, dot. And I can look at every one of you that believe and I can say, "I see you in a little while." But I'm going to tell you what. It breaks my heart. Because every one of you who reject Jesus, you will not be there. Scares me to death every day. Drives me out of my mind. Charlo, you know what it's like to preach, and then all of a sudden you look at people walk out the back door, and you know there's lost as an Easter egg, and they walk right out the back door. You know why? They believe some lie somebody told them a long time ago. They believe because they don't do this, this, and that, they're going to be saved. They don't need Jesus. I tell you, you need Jesus. Truth will set you free. Well, let's pray. Lord, bring this altar to them, Lord. Go get them, Spirit. Convince them of your truth. Now pray right now. Just ask God, "Lord Jesus, today I know you're real. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want that relationship." Some of you have tried the rules and you need the relationship. "Lord Jesus, forgive me. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you're risen from that grave. I know you're here today. Lord Jesus, come into my life." Some of you have already done that and you need to be baptized. You've already done that this week. Come talk to Pastor Jamie and myself about being baptized. Some of you need to come and just pray and say, "Lord, my life looks nothing like you saved me." Some of you need to come just wander back. And guess what? He'll receive you well. Amen? I love you guys, but not like Jesus does. Because Jesus is love. Dot, dot, dot. So won't you be continued in a relationship with him today? All right, church, look at me. Love you. Ready? Altar's open. If you're praying that prayer, you want to talk about that, you want to talk about a relationship with Jesus, you come on. You let Jesus save you right now. Come on. Thank you for coming. Come on, let's not hold back today. Let's not stand there and think about it today. God's been calling a lot of you for a long time. Come on, come on, come on.